This is the Future of IP Protection podcast, brought to you by MorphVision. This show is dedicated to arming companies with the skills, know-how, and technology they will need to future-proof their IP protection strategy for the years ahead.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Future of IP Protection podcast. I'm Brandi Spence, Head of Marketing with MorphVision. Today, we're joined by Morel Benham-Garcia, a seasoned expert in IP protection with over 15 years of experience. Formerly the Senior Director of Global Brand Protection and Intellectual Property at Wish, Morel has been instrumental in shaping IP strategies, particularly in the e-commerce domain. With her unique blend of technological insight and hands-on leadership, she's a leading voice in the industry, and we are thrilled to have her as our guest today. Hi, Morel. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So, Morel, let's dive in and have you give us a little brief overview of your journey and how you came to specialize in the realm of IP protection.
You know, I don't think anyone ever wakes up one day and says, you know, I'm going to get into the world of IP and trademarks. And I think, like with many in the industry, IP kind of fell into my lap and I fell in love with trademarks and branding. Not going the marketing route, still lovingly the legal route, I embarked on that journey, learned all there was to know about trademarks, copyrights, domains, a little patents wasn't my forte, and just continued my career in the IP world. And I have spent many years on the prosecution and enforcement side in a non-attorney capacity. And then the last 6 years, I have spent leading all intellectual property operations and brand protection efforts at the e-commerce platform Wish.
Amazing. And what would you say are some of the most rewarding and gratifying parts of what you do? What makes you feel like you're really making a difference in your field?
It's interesting because I feel like we're all trying to do the same thing and we're doing it from different perspectives. You know, brands are trying to support their brands, marketplaces are trying to enforce third-party rights, and service providers are also trying to kind of bridge that gap as well. And one thing I love is the fact that we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to combat counterfeiting. I think everybody agrees that counterfeiting is something that's a very, very serious issue, one that's not talked about enough. And from each sector, we are all working together or independently to really stop these actions and these efforts from occurring. And so it's been a journey trying to do so because it's not one that is prioritized enough.
Absolutely. Well, building on your experience, what is your 30,000 foot summary on the state of play of IP protection and enforcement? What are some of the trends or the dynamics that give you concern or give you hope?
I think the part of the challenge is, you know, everyone feels like we're playing this whack-a-mole game. You know, as soon as you whack one bad actor, all of a sudden another one appears. And I think that's been pretty evident over the last 5 to 10 years in our journey. And with the emerging rise of technology and really the collaboration and focus on partnership, I think the industry itself has done a really great job on curbing a lot of these bad acts from occurring. But the challenge is that the world of IP is so gray. It's not a very black and white field, and it's not very clear cut on what is problematic and what is not. So I think it's consistently evolving as brands are evolving, as new trends are evolving. And so it's one that we consistently have to stay on top of and that we consistently have to be vigilant about. And it's constant learning and constant collaborating. And so I don't think this industry is going to go away anytime soon. And I don't think we're going to be able to solve any problems anytime soon. But I think it's important that we stay on top of it because it's constantly emerging.
You mentioned technology. Let's dive into that a little bit more. I mean, are there any emerging technologies that are on your radar that you predict are going to present like novel IP challenges in the near future?
Obviously, with the rise of, you know, different perspectives, you know, ChatGPT and some of these other ones. And of course, you know, I'm not going to even dive into the world of NFTs, but there's a lot of areas and there's a lot of opportunities for a lot of, I don't want to say the word repetition, but using something that's not yours. I'll say it in as black and white as I could in kindergarten terms. I think it's very easy to grab things from the internet and grab things from other areas and be able to kind of pass it off as your own. And I think that's what's happening with the emergence of technology. It's very easy to acquire thoughts and ideas that are not yours because now the digital space is really pulling from different areas. And it's not so unique as it once was before. And so that's why IP infringement and just general IP problems have continued to rise is because the state of technology and the state of the digital presence is constantly evolving. But with that said, I also think, you know, there's different areas of technology that we haven't thought about. You know, I know I said, let's not get into NFTs, but even that, it's all new. All of this different areas of the Web3 and all that, it's just all new emerging space. And again, it's one that we have to keep on top of and learn on what and how is it that we need to do to protect our IPs.
Yeah, it's definitely a new frontier and the laws have to sort of adapt. How do you see them adapting to remain effective, you know, against some of these new developments and technologies?
The law, I feel like, is a little bit behind. And I think it's just because it's, you know, tech is moving so quickly and it's really hard to keep up. And as soon as we learn about something, it's already a state of the past. And a new technology or something new that's come up. That's why it's really important. And maybe this is wrong of me to say, but not so important to focus so much on the law, but focus more on additional technology to be able to kind of utilize the law to be able to enforce, but really stay on top of new tech trends, partner with technological companies, be able to kind of fight fire with fire versus trying to like fall from behind and determine what next is it that I need to do because I don't, let's say, understand this or I don't know if this could be protected. And I think we saw that in the world of NFTs of how you can protect your IP in the world of NFTs and whether or not you're even able to enforce with some of these creative digital spaces. But I do think that IP protection is extremely strong and utilizing your protection against many different industries by utilizing through the legal system will be favorable. It's just lengthy.
Yes, no doubt. We always have seen how the law can kind of lag behind. That said, there have been some recent legislative shifts for IP protection, not necessarily having to do specifically with technology, but some of them have come into effect. And I'm thinking more along the lines of the Informer Consumer Act and the Consumer Safety Act, et cetera. What is your take on some of those and your perspective on some of those? And how can e-commerce marketplaces, you know, use those to help brands, you know, fight this battle further?
You know, I think it's an interesting perspective and an interesting shift in dynamics that's been taken. You know, one of the things that I've always said is if you want to combat counterfeiting, you really need to combat it at the source. And so, you know, aside from the digital and tech space, going into more of what is the problem at core, which is, again, that counterfeiting, which is a criminal and nefarious activities from bad actors, I think it's important to utilize legislation to be able to get more. Coming from a marketplace myself, I understand the perspective of how a platform has sometimes their hands tied and their inability to be able to really find those bad actors themselves. Again, you know, we just as brands and just as other law enforcement agencies and governmental agencies, we want to do right by our consumers. And platforms, generally speaking, are constantly trying to find those bad actors, and it's really difficult for them. However, I do appreciate the legislative requirements that is imposed on platforms to be able to discover and uncover more, because it does give the message to the bad actors that you really can't hide behind these e-commerce marketplaces any longer. And as much as e-commerce marketplaces have always tried to do the right thing by sharing of the information and by doing a lot of really deep vetting, bad actors are criminals. They will always find ways to deter themselves from any bad act. And this way, it really sends the message that they can't hide any longer and that it really helps prevent them from joining and doing certain activities by knowing that the law is after them.
Absolutely. Let me ask you as a follow-up on this one. Do you see on the e-commerce side, I mean, as you mentioned, it is difficult to identify who these guys are. Do you see potential there for partnership from the brand side and maybe the service provider sides to all sort of identify and put a spotlight on who these guys are, you know, these bad actors and identify them across the board?
Yes, absolutely. It is 100% vital that platforms are collaborating equally with brands, service providers, law enforcement agencies, even governmental agencies. Data sharing is actually extremely important. And even amongst each other, the trends have changed where platforms don't look at each other as competitors. They look at each other as partners, and being able to even speak with each other and be able to share certain information is really key in preventing a lot of these bad actors. Because as we've seen in trends, you know, they hop on one platform, they hop on one area. And as soon as they're, again, it's the whack-a-mole, as soon as they're targeted, they'll go to the next and next. But when everyone is talking and protecting before they even have the opportunity to jump on that new domain or jump on a new website or jump on a new platform, we're able to curb that by preventing them from even joining, because we already have the information that we need to prevent them. And collaboration and partnership is key amongst all sectors.
Absolutely. So with these complexities, it has to be vital then for businesses to really have a solid IP strategy. What would you say are some of the pillars of a successful strategy? And yeah, what would you recommend a brand consider?
So brands need to obviously do what they need to do to protect their rights without intellectual property protection, namely trademark registrations or registrations of their copyrights or trade dress, not just in regional jurisdictions, but global jurisdictions. That is first and foremost. It's really difficult for anyone to enforce a brand's rights if the brand doesn't take measures to protect their rights to begin with. So number one, I think that's a given. Number two, I think it's important that brands view marketplaces and other folks as partners and as collaborators. I think it's important that they educate and they train and they create training material. So not only are they fighting the battle, but they're sharing the knowledge of what is important for their brand and why a certain element is protected in a certain way, and share that information across the board. So if they want more proactive measures to be done, the platform or the third party has those tools to be able to do that. And so it's really important as number two in their strategy to view the partnership and to educate and create training materials. Similarly, as they would with the Customs and Border Patrol, do the same for platforms, do the same for service providers, make sure that you're educating accordingly. And number three is budgeting. Make sure that you understand that in terms of prioritizing, enforcing and policing is something that absolutely needs to be done on behalf of the brand. And it's not one that I believe leadership sometimes takes a strong buy-in in. It takes a lot internally to kind of build a case on why you need to enforce or dedicate resources to enforce it. And it doesn't necessarily have to just be on, you know, the brand side. I think in general, if a brand is not enforcing and policing their own marks, it's really difficult to expect anyone else to. So it's really difficult for platforms or other third-party operators to be expected to take action or to enforce a brand's rights when the brand is not doing it themselves. So again, it goes with the educational piece. It's really, really important that there's executive buy-in and that, you know, as much as a brand is putting their efforts into essentially ensuring that their rights are protected, that's how platforms get the opportunity to do so as well.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of education all around the board and really putting your money where your mouth is, right? And enforcing all across. As we look towards the future, paint us a picture 5 years from now, what do you think the landscape of IP protection might look like?
You know, you would think that, you know, it may dwindle down. Unfortunately, I don't see that happening. I see the state of IP protection kind of living the way that it is now, if not increasing even more. We can do legislative actions. We can do as much, but bad actors will always look for different opportunities to continue doing what they do and continue getting counterfeit material out there, continue to bypass all of the checks and balances that's been put in place. So staying vigilant and staying on top of social trends is extremely important. I do see in 5 years, obviously, we can do as much as we can do across our borders. But if we don't band together and work together to go and stop a lot of these acts at the source, I don't see in 5 years any of these activities coming down. I also do think that if we focus right now on consumer education and not just educating, you know, brands and brands working with platforms and platforms working with, you know, third-party service providers, we also need to work on our consumers. We also really need to focus on educating consumers and explaining why certain material that you're purchasing is wrong, how consumers can also stay vigilant when they're making online purchases. What can they look for? What is it that, yes, you may be getting at a, you know, 50 or 75% off, but if there's certain characteristics or markings, you know, how can you help support that and notify, you know, whether it's the platform or the brand, and being able to target counterfeiting through consumer education is probably going to really curb a lot of these activities as well. And if we focus on that now, in 5 years, we will see really great results.
For sure. And we're working right now with a Gen Z generation, basically, that has a whole different attitude towards it, right? So it's almost like a consorted effort among all the brands and
and industry associations and government to really kind of educate them on, you know, the why. It's not just about a poor quality product that might look so close that you're getting for cheap, right? But all the other reasons that may matter to them, really, you know, that really hit at them, to really explain and educate them as to why they shouldn't. So,
yeah, there's a, you know, folks who think they're getting the $26, you know, Louis Vuitton bag and the $50 Rolex watch are ecstatic. I mean, they're through the roof, but they don't understand that, you know, what is that fund? Where, when you're supporting counterfeiting, what is that actually supporting? It's not about somebody making a profit. It's about somebody using that profit to do, you know, drug trafficking, human trafficking, like beyond nefarious criminal activity. And I don't think there's enough education around that. I believe, like, you know, the counterfeiting a luxury handbag is the least of the worries. And unfortunately, that's what people think. You know, what's the big deal? You know what? So what if I get this knockoff purse? Like, are these like knockoff shoes? Why is this such a big problem? And I think it's really important to educate consumers on why that actually is a problem, particularly around things that is touching your skin or putting it on your face or ingesting. I don't think people realize the harmful effects in counterfeits, particularly, let's say, a clothing item that may have really high amount of leads in them that could get into your bloodstream. And, you know, these health effects aren't going to be shown immediately. They're going to be shown down the road. And if folks knew about that, and if folks were educated about that, it would really help protect not only themselves, but also protect brands and also, you know, protect marketplaces as well from, you know, having consumers spread and continuously purchase these bad products.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Well, it's going to be an interesting 5 years ahead. We'll see how much headway we make. Before we wrap up, I think it'd be really invaluable for listeners if you could distill some of your vast experience and give us some key actionable takeaways. So in order to succeed at IP protection in the future, what 3 pieces of actionable advice would you leave, you know, some IP professionals with?
I think the most important thing IP professionals should know is to collaborate. You know, you're not in this alone. I think collaboration and partnerships is the most important thing that you can do. Treat marketplaces like a partner. I believe that, you know, years ago, we were kind of seen as the adverse enemy, and that is not the case in any way, shape, or form. We are here to help, and marketplaces want to do right by you. They just don't have enough material or don't have enough knowledge. So partnership is key. I think the second component is, again, share this information too amongst the industry. I think the industry as a whole is really shifting, and there's a lot more prioritization on these issues, and having these conversations in different forums and different settings is really also important because it helps share data, it helps share information, and it really helps combat and curb these efforts at the core. And number 3, I think, again, we need to stop this at the source. Working with law enforcement agencies, working through legislative actions also is really helpful and supportive to really set the right tone and set the right message to these bad actors that this is no longer going to be tolerated. And so for them, there's a lot more consequences now than there was in the past. And hopefully there'll be even more in the next 5 years. And so working together to really stop at the source, if there's budgeting available to do any type of overseas, you know, working with law enforcement agencies overseas to do any type of criminal action or even civil action at the source, I think is really helpful as well.
Those are 3 solid pieces of advice. Absolutely. Sharing information, collaborating, and stopping it at the source. So with that, we're going to wrap it up here. It's been a great and enlightening conversation. Really appreciate you giving us your take on this and shedding some light on the intricacies of this dynamic IP landscape that we have here. And I trust that our listeners have found it very enriching and informative as much as I have. Before we wrap up, can you let our listeners know where they might be able to get in touch with you if they have any questions or they want to learn a little bit more?
Sure. I'm very responsive and available on LinkedIn. Please reach out to me. My, I think, user handle is MARALBG, Maral Benham Garcia, MARALBG. And I am always happy to connect on LinkedIn. I'm, again, very responsive and happy to help in any way that I can.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again, Maral. It was such a pleasure having you on. And to our listeners, I hope we see you on our next episode of The Future of IP Protection. Until then, take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Future of IP Protection podcast, brought to you by Mark Vision.
If you enjoyed today's show, please do us a favor and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you'd like to learn more about how Mark Vision can help you transform your IP protection strategy, visit us at markvision.com. Thanks again, and I'll catch you on the next episode.